This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It is our weekly Q&A with Layla, much anticipated by yours truly, and I'm sure also by
Me
you,
too.
Layla. We enjoy doing this duet, answering your questions, and hopefully by you, our listening audience, judging from the comments and the ratings. We do detailed analytics on the podcast that people download and listen to, and this is among the most popular on a weekly basis.
Wow, is it the most popular?
Yeah, there's a little
That's cool.
A little bit of an uptick on Q&A with Layla, and some topics resonate more than others, but generally, you know, you never know what you're going to get with Q&A with Layla. It's a smorgasbord of different topics, so I guess it has broad appeal. Also a little bit more informal format. You know, it's not just me standing and delivering or having a colloquy with a polite colloquy with a colleague. Not that this is an impolite colloquy, but it's a little more, we let our hair down a little more in this format. So before we get to questions, by the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. We welcome questions. We'd like to hear from you. Anything related to nutrition, vitamins, supplements, health in general, diet, lifestyle, we cover the ground, and it's we call it intelligent medicine. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about something we both attended this weekend. This last weekend, which is the Integrative Healthcare Symposium, IHS 2019, which was held in New York. And it's kind of a fun thing because this, you know, it's kind of like the hunger season. It's that long tail end of winter that never seems to end, you know, cold gray days and seasonal affective disorder. And into that comes some brightness, which is a bunch of our friends and colleagues come to New York, and we gather together and we hear excellent speakers, local speakers, but speakers from all over the world, literally.
All over the world,
And many of our friends in the supplement industry come, and we wine and dine between the lectures, and it's a really a fun time. A little exhausting. Well, you know, I really felt...
It's 3 days back to back.
I was knocked out.
And it's 10-hour days.
And I presented.
And you presented.
And I recorded a podcast at the same time with Nate Jones of Clear about the
Clear
benefits...
Clear nasal spray.
About Clear nasal spray and the benefits of Spry Dental Defense System, which is the xylitol principle. So listen to that. That's very interesting. We really got into the weeds on this subject, and it's fascinating.
And you sat on a panel
called
How to Do It Better.
I didn't like the title of that, really. Don't blame
it's
me
provocative.
For the title. It was a sex panel. And, you know, we were fully clothed, so don't worry about it. and so it was a panel of four authors, of which you are one. You're one of the authors. It's just that, you know, just for reasons of brevity, they said, let's pick... one represented from each of the main areas in this book, of which there were, like, 25 contributors, many contributors. Different aspects of sexual health, natural approaches to sexual health, but also just reviewing, you know, like, the ups, the downs, ups and downs of the medications for, you know, erectile dysfunction, you know, even things like acupuncture, psychotherapy, sexual counseling. But what we talked about in our chapter was diet. So we've, you know, without belaboring the subject, because we could do a whole podcast, so we will do some more podcasts on this. Diet does matter when it comes to sexual performance.
Sure.
Also, supplements could make a difference, although, you know, some of the supplements out there, frankly, are bogus. You know, like, you see, hear so much on AM radio about that. So that was fun. Well received. It was very interesting.
Terrific.
Also did a an individual lecture on ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, which is more of a traditional lecture that I gave.
Right.
And I just really felt good about it because the interest was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the room, standing room only. And, you know, I felt that I pretty much, you know, sometimes you leave there and you say, boy, I really wish I had talked about this. I didn't have time or I forgot to or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't leave much on the cutting room floor, as
right.
they say. I was able to get out a lot of information about risk factors, supplements, diet, some of the controversies, and, you know, limitations of the current medical therapies.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then, you know, what were some of the lectures that really struck you? First of all, there was Dr. David Perlmutter, who spoke a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And his central contention is that diet has a big influence on Alzheimer's disease.
Yes. Alzheimer's disease. One of the panels that he sat on was on autoimmunity, along with a few other.
Yes.
A few other.
And that was, I saw that too. That was fascinating.
That was terrific.
Right.
I could have sat there all day long and just listened to them.
Yep.
And then
Dr. David Brady, and also the what was the name of the Israeli doctor there?
Dr. Yehuda Schoenfeld.
And he is a top immunologist.
Oh yeah,
and
because
a brilliant guy.
I had to go back to see him the next day when he did the mosaic of autoimmunity.
Yes.
And I literally could not, you know, I had to go back that night. That was the first thing I downloaded.
Okay.
To look at again.
His presentation. Right.
Just to look at it again to make sure it was imprinted.
Right.
All of that. It
so,
was so delicious.
But his central contention that I heard was that by the way, he's not an anti-vaxxer,
nope.
you know, but he does suggest that we really need to look at vaccines because there's something about vaccines, the adjuvants, they're actually designed to stimulate the immune system so that the vaccine takes.
To irritate the immune system, to go to your immune system, to shake it, to wake it up and say, hey, react to this, make some antibodies.
You know what an analogy is to this, and I've not heard it used, but it's a good analogy, is how do you make a pearl? You put a little piece of sand into
an oyster,
and it creates, it's an irritant, and it creates the oyster. But, you know, not all the pearls are good pearls. You know, you have to go through a lot of oysters to find that perfect cultured pearl. And the same thing with the type of immunity that you get from a vaccine is that some people have an aberrant reaction. It actually hyperactivates their immune system, causes autoimmunity.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you went through the chemicals and the environment and the hygiene hypothesis and all this stuff.
All of those things, the leaky gut, which so much starts with and so forth. And it's just fascinating that and autoimmunity has been on the rise and that even cardiovascular disease, coronary artery disease, has an autoimmune component.
Yep.
Looking for certain antibodies, actin. Antibodies,
well, we know this, for example, that rheumatoid arthritis patients have much more coronary artery disease.
Mm.
Ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease patients have more heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
They're inflamed.
They're inflamed. So inflammation. But yeah, and then the lecture on environmental toxins was terrific. Walter Crinian was supposed to do that. His partner, Lynn Patrick, another naturopathic doctor did that. She did a really excellent job.
She's great, yeah.
And that's the second thing I downloaded. And
she's been a frequent contributor to Intelligent Medicine, too.
Oh,
she's
terrific.
A go-to person on liver disease and chemical exposure.
And I want to share a tidbit with the audience.
Sure.
If you're interested in the air pollution in your part of the country or the world, go to airnow.gov.
Oh.
airnow.gov.
Okay.
And find your region and it'll tell you the state of the air.
So it's constantly updated and
it's updated.
Wow.
All of that.
Okay.
And it was fascinating, eye-opening information about the things that
pollutants.
We need to be aware of.
Yeah.
All the way down to our dental floss.
Right.
Go
figure. Yeah.
Dental floss.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has BPA.
Yes, BPA. Yeah. And by the way, another tidbit to share. Everybody, all of you, and I fell for the trap too a few years ago. I got BPA-free containers.
Right.
Well, guess what? They've got BPA G and H and S and T and who knows what, which are likely worse right. then BPA.
Right.
So it's BPH or S or G. I think I added the A where I shouldn't have.
And, you know, and
it's not much better.
And just to situate this argument, today there's an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal which mm-hmm. says that there's a lot of quackery and exaggeration about BPA. And generally, the Wall Street Journal, you know, God bless them, they're all for laissez-faire, you know, let industry have free rein. And, you know, regardless of what you think about deregulation, mm-hmm. one of the consequences of deregulation is that we're unleashing more harmful chemicals on the populace. Yeah. You know, yes, maybe we're releasing the animal spirits of the economy, but also the, you know, we may be subjecting our citizens to unbridled pollution.
Yeah.
You know, much has happened in China. I mean, like, they had economic growth at like 20% a year, like phenomenal growth and, you know, amazing, increase in the, GNP. And there's going to be a terrible legacy of that
yeah.
for decades and maybe centuries that mm-hmm. they've devastated the environment and they've exposed their populace to horrible
yeah.
pollution.
There was a big emphasis on plastics at this particular lecture, and it was a two-parter. One was Thursday, the other was Saturday morning. She focused on BPA, BPG, ST, Z, all the various letters of BP. But the other was phthalates. Phthalates are big. These are gender benders.
PHTH.
Yes.
Phthalates.
Phthalates. So the PH right. is yeah. actually not pronounced at all.
It's phthalates. Phthalates. I know.
It's phthalates.
But it's a weird spelling.
This is what makes plastic
right.
more
soft.
Plastic or soft,
flexible.
Malleable,
right.
flexible, all
right.
of that. But these are indeed gender benders. And when you
yep.
look at the use of that and correlate it mm-hmm. to infertility, which is
right.
surging.
Infertility, genital malformations.
Yes.
There's one type that's much more prevalent in males now.
Mm.
Hypospadias, which is a malformation of the urethra.
Wow.
Infertility, I think, is an index of that.
Yeah.
But also the hormonal cancers that we see.
Yes.
You know, yeah. in men and in women, you
right.
know, possibly
right.
plastics may contribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
So okay. these being the pollutants, plastics, natural gas is also problematic, apparently. Not mm. much worse than the rest,
right.
however. And you know.
Yeah, because when you think the stove is off.
Yeah.
Right? No.
Mm.
There's a little bit coming out.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's like the pilot light or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, and don't get your upholstery Scotch guarded.
Yes.
You know, that I've known for a long time.
Right,
when we
right.
got our sectional sofa
right, right.
many years ago, and they said Scotch guard, I'm like, no. She looked at me and said, you're going to stay in this. I said, I don't want any Scotch guard on this.
Were you here when we saw a child? This is quite a few years ago.
I remember who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and they had, so the child had lupus.
Yes.
And she had hypothyroidism. So that's very unusual for like an 8-9-year-old child. And I said, has there been any chemical exposure in the household? They said, yes. As a matter of fact, we put in new carpeting in the basement.
And it's
not well ventilated.
I
and it stank for months and months. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, our son, who was also came along for the ride, who was like, I don't know, 12 years old, had hypothyroidism.
Wow.
Oh, whoa. You know, children don't. They don't
get hypothyroidism.
Generally
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
fascinating.
You know, anyway. And because they play on the carpet and they, you know, their playroom
yeah.
was in the basement.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this, yes, all that stuff is important. Unfortunately, I missed a lot of lectures because I was meeting with people and lecturing
sure.
myself. And then I had to run back and do my show on Saturday. So I gave a lecture on Saturday morning, ran back and did my show because my apartment is like 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to
mm-hmm.
hear a final lecture by Jeffrey Bland.
Yes.
Which was just always just amazing. He's
yeah.
just a really wonderful resource and he's the godfather of functional medicine.
Yeah.
He's really started the ball rolling in this
mm-hmm.
direction.
Mm-hmm.
Visionary guy.
It was great. I leave that conference every February wanting more.
Yep.
Really wanting more. So it's great. And I look forward to that.
Okay.
Most years I look forward to that.
You want more? You got to get on the road because practically every weekend there's a conference.
Oh, I know.
Along those lines somewhere in the
yeah.
United States. And it used to be there were maybe two, yeah. three conferences a year. Now there's like, I can't decide which conference I should go to. There's
yeah.
one in Seattle. There's one in Austin, Texas, and it's simultaneous.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
true. You You got to pick.
We share this with you, audience, just to give you an idea of the robustness of the field that we partake of. Because
yes,
we, you know, some of you may say, well, how do they, you know, Layla and Dr. Hoffman, how do they know all this stuff? And we are drinking from a fire hose, literally, of information that is available at these conferences, that's available online, yeah, the stuff that we read, and it, the innovation and the research is just snowballing.
Yeah.
And it's, especially from the time that I started, you know, review studies here and there, and, mm-hmm, you know, but now it's just, mm-hmm, this torrent of information.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, another really big take-home message from the autoimmunity panel and everything. Vitamin D, and did I mention vitamin D?
Right. And just to throw...
It's got to be over 50.
And just to throw a little monkey wrench into that, push back from a guy that I really respect, Dr. Alan Gaby. And if you read the, yeah, if you read the Townsend newsletter this month, mm-hmm, Dr. Gaby... he's a contrarian, I know, mm-hmm, but he pushes back on the craze of giving people very high dose vitamin D.
Yeah.
And with, so this is an argument and a controversy that I think we'll revisit as we, you know, everything proceeds in vogue. Like vitamin D, nothing, not important, dangerous to give too much. And then it became like, whoa, it's important. And then everybody's mega dosing of vitamin D. And then some people are saying, let's, you know, curb our enthusiasm a little bit for, very aggressive vitamin D supplementation. It, some studies are not showing it's helpful. Some concerns have arisen.
Yeah. He's also a bit of a contrarian on the methylated version of folate.
And on iodine. And he's I guess he's becoming, as some of us, as we do at our older age, we become more contrarian. You know, I mean.
Or should we say more conservative?
Conservative, yes. Conservative. Conservative is maybe a better
right,
moniker for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing wrong with being conservative in this field because I think there's some people who are, you know, enthusiasts, but maybe over-exuberant about some things that we need to have a measured approach to.
Yes, yes, yes.
So anyway, so lots of great lectures there.
Yeah.
Is it of any value for the public? You know, I don't know whether the public has access to transcripts of that. I'm sure a lot of people will be reporting on it.
Sure.
We'll be writing some articles about some things that we saw.
Exactly.
So, and for health professionals, I think it's possible to access some of that
material.
Yeah,
and they're available. The audio tapes are available for purchase after the fact if you wanted to buy them.
Or good.
I imagine that's open to the public, too,
yeah,
to some degree. I wouldn't understand why it wouldn't be.
It should be available. The question is whether it's accessible because some of these lectures were pretty sophisticated.
So...
All right, we'll get to questions. Sorry about that digression, but I think it's important.
Well, actually, first, we have a message from Russia.
What city in Russia?
Sovetov. No, Spirovo. Spirovo, Russia. Spirovo, Russia. This comes from Julia, or Yulia.
Okay.
I would...
I'm looking it up on Google's Maps.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Spirovo, Russia. She writes, good afternoon. Every morning...
До свидания.
Good afternoon. Every morning when I wake up, I listen to your radio. It gives me energy and good mood for the whole day.
Oh, God.
Now, I cannot imagine my normal day without your radio. My whole family also listens to your radio.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. With thanks and best wishes, your regular listener. Good luck to you all, Yulia. Yeah, that's
love
great.
It. That's and
you das know, vidanya.
And by the way, at the very least, an English lesson. Now I do see a place called Spirova in Montenegro, but that can't be the same thing.
Spirovo. Yeah, O V O.
Okay.
At the end.
Yeah, Spirovo is in Tver Oblast, Russia.
Oh.
Okay. So let's see where that is. Oh boy. It's Russia's big.
Yeah.
Where's it?
Well, Dr. Hoffman, when it was the USSR, it was way bigger. So Spirovo, Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's sort of a place in kind of Western Russia. It's in sort of above Ukraine and
Oh, near the
below
near the
Finland.
Caucasus and kind of, which I think is more west of that. Even okay. Okay.
It is. It looks like it's several hundred miles north of northwest of Moscow.
Okay.
It'd be sort of between on the road from St. Petersburg to Moscow. It's not. I mean, it might be a big town, but I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here. Thank you for listening, Julia. Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next question comes from Rob. Okay, this one's interesting. My gallbladder ejection fraction is only 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, I do not digest fats well.
Okay, let's pause on that. Let's pause on that.
Okay.
What is, we've heard of an ejection fraction in regards to the heart.
Yes. That's the only place I've heard it before this email.
EF percent
yeah.
is generally, could be 50-60% is good.
Mm-hmm.
An athlete might have a higher ejection fraction, means the ability of the heart to pump blood, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And when your ejection fraction decreases in your heart, you get congestive heart failure, and you're not circulating your blood.
Okay. Yeah.
But how is that applied to the gallbladder? There's something called a HIDA scan. It's a functional scan. So when you have gallbladder problems, you know, a couple ways to evaluate. One is to get an ultrasound and see if you have stones.
Hmm.
And so maybe you don't have stones, but you have symptoms. They might do a HIDA scan to see if your gallbladder is effectively working. You might have a functional gallbladder problem instead of a, you know, a physical stones in your gallbladder.
Uh-huh.
So that's what the HIDA scan says. Now, I don't know offhand what the normal ejection fraction of the gallbladder is. I think that is low.
Mm.
It is low.
Mm.
So let's...
Rob is wondering if he should get his gallbladder removed.
Well, I don't think you should get your gallbladder removed, really, because it's not pumping out bile.
Right. It's just the depot for the bile.
It puts you maybe at risk for stones, mm-hmm. but it doesn't, you know, I don't think that's a pretext for having it removed.
Well, Rob says, okay, he talks
about
his...
symptoms?
His symptoms is cannot digest fats well and cannot lose weight.
Well, that would make sense, is that, you know, when you don't have the bile... You can't emulsify fat,
mm-hmm.
and has fat intolerance.
Right. But there may be another reason he cannot lose weight. Get a load of this. Rob says, I am also hypothyroid and cannot get my TSH under 12.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
And that could be linked to a weak gallbladder function because the thyroid governs metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So... Actually, I have a something that's interesting, which is precisely addressing this question. As we talk, I looked it up. Biliary pain, no gallstones. Remove the gallbladder anyway? From Family Practice News 2014. And what they're saying here is, it depends.
It depends.
Yeah.
Rob is taking Synthroid. Since 1993, but had to increase it a lot, but his TSH is still not controlled.
So he needs some more aggressive attention to that. I don't know why he can't get his TSH down.
Right. And he's recently been prescribed a high dose of Cytomel with no results.
Wow. Okay. Something's going on there. Maybe he has a pituitary problem that's causing his TSH to remain high.
Okay. All right. So that would be something to be explored further. It doesn't just all stop at the thyroid. And TSH is thyroid-stimulating hormone. Now imagine, Rob can't get his under 12, and we like to see a TSH of around 1 to 2. We would consider that
right,
optimal.
Right, exactly. And I have a statistic on gallbladder ejection fraction. It should be 35 to 65%. So something is, this is sort of a lethargy about this guy, that he has a high TSH suggesting hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
And he has a weak gallbladder, sort of something.
Yes. Yeah. And that's another reason you can't lose weight is that TSH or that thyroid.
Yep.
So something else is going on.
Yep.
Wow.
It sounds like a sort of a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But something that we might have some insight into how to address from a more holistic standpoint.
Right. Right. Well, he would definitely need another workup or at the very least a second opinion about how he's being treated. All right.
But did he say he had gallbladder pain?
No, he doesn't. He says he doesn't digest fats well.
Well, then he could take some pancreatic lipase. I mean, that'd be
a great idea.
Yeah.
some pancreas in.
Yeah.
That would be a wonderful idea,
yeah.
In fact. And how do we know when we don't digest fats well or at all?
Yeah.
Well, to put it bluntly, your poop will be stinkier than usual. It's called steatorrhea.
And you'll have like an oil slick.
Yes, it's an oil slick.
Right.
You may stain the toilet bowl.
Right.
There may be a stain there after you flush
it. And the other thing is lack of bile might be characterized by light-colored stools.
Yes.
You know, bile tends to pigment the stool dark.
Right. Darker.
So if you have clay-colored stools, it would be maybe an insufficient amount of bile.
Yeah.
You can actually quantitate the amount of fat. You know, this is a little, looking at the toilet bowl and like deciding if it's oil slick or not, it's not that precise. You can actually get a percentage fat on a stool test to see if you're, you should be breaking down or absorbing most of the fat. It shouldn't be coming out.
Exactly. Okay. Well, ejection fraction of 12%. The bile's not coming.
Yep.
That's it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Rob, we wish you the best of luck. Get a second opinion, find a new endocrinologist, something along those lines. Okay, all right. We have an email from Cheryl. Dear Dr. Hoffman.
This is a good point at which to pause.
Oh my gosh, are we there already at halftime?
We're there.
My.
This is halftime. get out the entertainment, right? Get the laser light show out. And, okay, so just give us a preview of what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, salmon and salad diet. Are you still a fan?
Okay, we'll tackle that when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we'll be right back with part 2.